down the street. The food was good, but not Whataburger. Then I tried to call an Uber to go from West LA to Pasadena, which is like an hour and a half away because of traffic. Uber isn't working for some reason, so I have to set up a Lyft account and call a ride. My driver shows up, and it's evident that he's living out of his car. We talk about his life, and he asks me about my story. So I get to share what Jesus has done in my life with this dude. For over an hour, we talk about his life and my life, and we're both crying like little babies in the process. Once we get to the hotel, I ask him to get out so I can hug him and pray for him. He gives me one of the best hugs I've ever gotten, and we pray. And I kept hearing that his hip is messed up and that he needs replacement surgery. So I happen to ask him about it, and he's completely weirded out that I knew it. And I pray for his hip, and while praying, it pops really loudly. And he starts bending over and kicking his leg and freaking out because it feels better than it's felt in years. He then tells me that he's going to the Azusa Revival Conference tomorrow, and he took my number so we can meet up. He said he had literally just prayed, asking God for a sign of his love because he was ready to give up. And God just so happened to see fit to have me fly from Dallas, walk forever for dinner, have my Uber account screwed up, and finally have me call for Lyft, all because his son needed to know that he's loved. I'm telling you, folks, life with Jesus is a wild ride, and that's the only thing that happens. And if that's the only thing that happens this weekend, I'm eternally grateful that I came. So that was the story that he posted last night. And then I'm going to go back to his page because there was an update that I wanted to read as well. So check this out. My Lyft driver from last night, the one who had his hip healed, he was weeping as he told me about his family and how his wife left him and refuses to let him see his kids. That was part of his life story that he was sharing with me last night. We prayed last night for his wife to be moved to forgiveness and let him see his children. He just called me and told me that his wife called him this morning, told him that the kids want to see him and that she wants them to see him as well. Jesus is so cool, and reconciliation is being made in every area of life. This is the real gospel. How cool is that? I was like, I don't know, it overwhelmed my heart. And I think that there's something to sharing these testimonies with one another and going, how good is God? Like, how good is he that he loves his son that much and he loves us that much, that he would orchestrate those intricacies of scheduling just to communicate, I love you. So anyway, that's kind of what I want to start out with. I don't know if you guys remember, it was probably maybe a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, last time I spoke, and I had just recently taken what was called the Discovering Your Ministry Identity Test. And I was joking about how some of my numbers on some of those giftings were a little low. Do you guys remember that? And I can't remember the other ones, but I know one of them was evangelism. And I made a comment about, or a joke, I guess, maybe, about how it seems such a big, it's such a pillar to the walk of faith, to our walk with Jesus Christ. And I was like, I was laughing about the fact that it's a low number for me. And I think Alberto had made a joke about, you know, have you ever heard about the Great Commission or, you know, that portion of life with Lord. And so I was joking about that. And have you ever made a joke and like the second it comes out of your mouth, the Holy Spirit gives you that look and you're like, no, dang it. I didn't mean that. Like, because the moment I said it, what I knew was going to happen is that the Lord was going to begin speaking to my heart about evangelism and speaking to people about who he is. And that was a challenge that, I mean, instantly I knew, like, this is what he's going to start doing because I just said that. And I know that he's, like, going to start moving things around in my heart and challenging me in places I haven't been challenged before. So that's what tonight's message is coming from. And I just want to challenge you guys tonight. And I hope that it challenges you guys tonight, honestly. I hope that it stretches wherever you are in your life and in your walk with the Lord to maybe break outside of some comfort zones and some limitations that you maybe have placed on yourself or even on God and what he's capable of. So One of the verses I'm going to be reading from is Matthew 13, 45 and 46. And I'm just going to go ahead and read it. Okay. I wasn't sure if it was going to be up there or not. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. And upon finding a single pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. So it's curious to me that this story starts out by saying that he was looking for fine pearls. So what this communicates is that he sets out to find multiple pearls. Like, that's his intention for the day. Like, I imagine he, like, said goodbye to his cat and went to the ATM and got out the right amount of money that he needed to go looking for some pearls. The look Christopher is giving me is awesome. Or dog, or wife, or kid, whatever. He said goodbye to somebody, I'm sure. Said hello to his neighbor, who knows. But my point is, so like, he prepared to go and be in search of pearls that were of good value. But something happened that he didn't expect. He finds a pearl. And I wonder, what was different about this pearl? Was it, like, it had to be perfectly round, right? Because, like, that's a rare one. That's about all I know about pearls. Was it the color? Was it, like, the type, the luster? Like, he saw it and he knew. Like, he didn't set out going, I'm going to find the pearl today. I'm going to find the one, and I'm going to know when it's the one. That's not the mentality he was under. He went to find pearls of good value, decent value. And he sees this one, and there is something about it, something magnificent, something that sets it apart from any other pearl this man has ever laid his eyes on. And he sells all that he has to buy it. So I want you to picture that. He sells everything he has to go and buy this pearl. Everything. This man is standing there with no belongings, no money in his pocket, no roof over his head, with a recently purchased pearl in his hand. Maybe both hands. And he is fully satisfied. He is content. He is full of joy because this was the pearl. This was a pearl of great value. And it was worth it. And he knows that what he gained in this pearl is worth far more than everything that he just got rid of. Guys, are we fully satisfied with Jesus and his kingdom the way that he is satisfied with that pearl? Are we fully satisfied with the love that Christ has revealed to us? Are we content in that? I don't know anything about pearls. Not a thing. The only pearls I've ever owned were entirely fake. And my dog ate them. But I know something about love because I have encountered a love that is magnificent and it's like unlike any other love I've ever known. I've encountered a love that set me free. And this man Jesus, this love that he's expressed to us, this kingdom that he's invited us to be a part of, this is the pearl of great value. This is the one that is just set apart. This is the one that we can be truly satisfied in without anything else. And so that's kind of my first question that I want to place in your mind and your heart today is, have you experienced this love? Have you understood this love of Jesus that, like, sets itself apart from every other pearl you've ever seen, from every other love you've ever known? And then, so part two I want to kind of talk about is, where do we go and what do we do once we have found this great pearl? We're a part of this kingdom. We're a part of this family of Christ. Easter was a couple weeks ago. you know, we all got together and we got to celebrate the empty tomb, right? And that was good. That's so good. But I want to talk about the people who aren't yet members of this family or participating in this kingdom life with us. And actually, I'm just going to go ahead and read from Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. I read from the Amplified Version because I like a lot of words. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted that it was really he. Jesus came and he said to them, "All authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of the nations. Help the people to learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance and on every occasion, even to the end of the age." Lo means like look. It's an interjection. Interjection, show excitement or emotion. I can't say that word without breaking into song. Thanks to School of Rock. Schoolhouse Rock. No, Jack Black. Okay, so I'm gonna keep it local tonight and close to home when I talk about what I'm gonna talk about, but bear in mind that and just keep in sort of the forefront of your heart that everything that I talk about and everything that I say in regards to our county, our local community tonight, is accurate globally, on a global scale. So, do you guys know how God feels about Brevard County? Do you realize that every day you are encountering people who are in search of pearls, of good value? Right? Everybody. There's something in them that is going out and it's searching for things that will make their life more valuable, that will bring them value. They're looking for more money or the next job or the next degree or whatever rung comes next on the ladder that they're climbing. They're looking for drugs and alcohol and sex and whatever it takes to numb the pain. They're looking for more Instagram followers and a lower number on the scale and a bigger number on the barbell. And there's just this drive to find something that will bring them more value. And they are collecting these cheap pearls on a long strand that they wear like a chain. And they think that eventually, if they just keep collecting and settling and seeking these pearls, they'll have enough. Their life will be of enough value. They'll be satisfied. And some people, man, I've met people in their 80s and 90s who have these long strands of cheap, worthless pearls. And they wear them, and they think that it means something. And here we are. We hold these amazing, worth value, of great value, pearls of the kingdom. We have access to this kingdom love, this love that frees people. And we have the opportunity to go and introduce them to it. Guys, think about that. That's huge. Like, it blows my mind. And it convicts my heart. Because I know what this love did in my life. And I know what it's capable of doing in those streets. But so many times, I don't open my mouth when people are seeking those pearls, when people are seeking that love to be known, to be accepted. And I have the answer, but it's uncomfortable, or I don't feel like I'm gifted. We have all kinds of excuses, which doesn't make sense because I'm going to read part of Matthew 28 again. I've got all the authority, so go and tell them about me. Show them how I love and teach them to do it anyway. Teach them to do it too. And hey, I'll go with you always. That was my paraphrasing, in case you couldn't tell. He's saying to us, I've got all authority, and I'm going with you. I heard a quote by Ravi Zacharias that's been kind of like bouncing around in my mind. He said, Have you ever wondered what you would have to do to frighten Lazarus after he'd been raised from the dead? I thought about that. I'm like, man, what could someone do or say? Pull a knife? I'll kill you? He'd laugh at them because he spent days in the grave. And the reality is that when we minister and when we live and when we work and when we breathe and we operate, knowing that we carry the authority that has been given to Jesus, it dispels every fear and every excuse from the reasons that we don't speak up. It dispels every excuse and every fear for the reasons that we don't offer people this pearl of great price. So what's stopping us? What obstacle can we not overcome? What conflict can we as Christians who operate in the authority of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us through the salvation of Jesus Christ, what conflict can we not reconcile? There isn't one. And what comfort zone is even worth staying in at that point? If we really believe this, if we're walking in this, if we operate in this, if we know our identity, there's no comfort zone worth living in. And I don't, am I echoing? Okay. I wasn't sure if I was just crazy. Okay. Oh, thanks. Thanks, Travis. I couldn't run that board, so I appreciate you. And guys, I don't say all of this because I want a bigger church. The good news is not about someone coming to City of Refuge. It's not about someone going to Calvary Chapel or Center Point. The good news is about someone who is seeking that pearl of great price, of great value, experiencing a love that sets them free from their sin and their hopelessness and their self-hatred and their sickness and from death. Like, that's the good news. And that's what I'm concerned about. That's what we should be concerned about. That's what the heart of God is concerned about. So don't tell me that you're not an evangelist. It's not your gifting. Me neither. Doesn't matter. Go. And don't tell me that you don't know how to talk to someone about Jesus. Because let me tell you, it is as easy as telling them what happened in your life. What has Jesus done in your life? What's your story? My friend Troy, that's exactly what he did. He gets in a Lyft car with some guy that he's never met before, and they just start talking about their story. And it changes lives because they encounter a love that transforms. So you do know how to, so go. And don't tell me that it's uncomfortable because, guys, it is literally the greatest thing that's ever happened to any of you. And it is the greatest thing that will happen to any of them out there. So go. I had a little bit more to say, but I think that's actually where I want to end it tonight. And I would just encourage you guys, in whatever field you work in, however you encounter people, whether it's at the grocery store, in the checkout line, or on the phone when you call to order pizza, or at your job, or at school, however you come in contact with people, I would just challenge you to be aware that they're seeking and that you have something to offer them. And ask yourself how the Lord feels about each person that you encounter. Because he'll start to talk to you. He'll tell you about these people that he loves. And he wants people who will partner with his heart. And he wants people who will engage with the lost and the broken and the hurting of this world. And guys, sometimes that's going to look like the strung out homeless person. And sometimes that's going to look like the CEO of a huge business and everyone in between. But the command was to go. So go.